Jim McGovern of Massachusetts' beautiful 2nd District. First of all, what are you hearing about DACA? It seems to me this is the height of chutzpah. I mean, yeah. The idea that this guy goes before the American people, says, I love those kids, I want to help. And three times there's a bipartisan attempt to make it real, and he KOs it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just cruel. These are great members of our community, members of our country. They know no other country but this. Many of them were brought here when they were only a few months old. But when they enrolled in DACA, I mean, they had to go through a background check. They have to sign a piece of paper saying that they will, you know, abide by all our laws. So these are all law-abiding citizens, contrary to what some of my Republican colleagues have labeled them. But, the president said he wanted to be helpful, and so far he hasn't done anything. He's responsible for throwing their lives in turmoil because he ended the program. You know, he said that he would sign into law any bipartisan agreement that Congress came up with. Well, we've come up with a couple of bipartisan agreements. And what he's doing is he's holding these DACA recipients, these dreamers, as hostages. And he's demanding a ransom. The first ransom was this stupid wall. And, you know, people said, well, you know, we'll give him a down payment for the wall. You know, if we could provide protection for all these people that, that over 80% of the American people believe we should provide protection for and a pathway to citizenship. But then the ransom kept on getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then the ransom is at this point now where it's clear to me that I think he's having a tough time getting to yes, because he's get his base so worked up in such an anti-immigrant frenzy that they won't ever accept yes. And so here we are, we're approaching deadlines, and people don't quite know what's going to happen, and it's really terrible. I mean, I think if we brought a clean bill to the floor that just provided protection for these dreamers, it would pass.
Which is why it ain't getting to the floor.
Right, which is why it's not. Why they're not bringing it up. I mean, Paul Ryan won't bring it to the floor, and Mitch McConnell, you know, I had a brief, you know, kind of glimmer of hope that he was going to try to get something done. He turned out, as usual, to be a disappointment. Nothing got done. But it's just a lousy thing to do, to play with these people's lives in such a cruel way.
You lead me to ask you a very interesting question, at least I think so. If, in fact, Paul Ryan loses in his district, and there's some thinking that he might, would that change things in the House because one person goes, or is it just a matter next up?
Yeah, well, I think Paul Ryan not only needs to lose, but we need to regain control. Democrats need to regain control of the House, because if Paul Ryan loses, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that the Republican conference moves, you know, more to a moderate position on immigration. It may be that the Freedom Caucus people say, well, no, we weren't extreme enough. And so you just don't know how it would turn out. I mean, Paul Ryan's been a big disappointment on this and on so many other things. I mean, he promised when he became Speaker that he wanted to embrace regular order, where we would have hearings on bills and people would be able to offer amendments and we would be able to debate and deliberate on amendments on the House floor. He has presided over the most closed Congress in the history of the United States of America. We've had more bills that have bypassed committees, where there have been no hearings, including the tax bill, that have gone right to the floor with no amendments. And, and it really is makes a mockery of the Congress. We're supposed to be the greatest deliberative body in the world. It'd be nice if we deliberated every once in a while. And I think if the Democrats take control, one of the things I hope we do is I hope we say, you know what, we do want to return to regular order. That may mean we may lose a few things, but it is important that every point of view be respected here, and we have a more open and transparent process. And I think that would do a lot, not only to help advance good legislation, but it would also help kind of depolarize politics here in Washington. I think we'll go a long way in doing that.
Jim McGovern, I wanted to ask you, we've just heard about the Italian elections. Clearly, from the progressive point of view, they didn't go well.
Right.
It does appear that immigration was at the bottom of some of the right-wing populist victory And that's also true in Germany, and it's also true here in the United States with Donald Trump. What do you make of this business about using immigration to win elections?
You know, it's unfortunate and it's really sad, especially here in this country, because we are a nation of immigrants. But Donald Trump and some of these others have been very good at scapegoating. I mean, we blame immigrants for everything. You can't find a job. Well, it must be because of immigrants. Your kid can't get into college. Well, it must be immigrants. You're having trouble with your wife. Oh, we'll blame immigrants. I mean, whatever it is. I mean, you know, the standard response by a lot of the right wing here in the United States and around the world is we blame immigrants. And it is such a destructive way to approach politics. And it's like I worry, you know, that we're not countering that anti-immigration sentiment better, reminding people that one is we all came from somewhere, but how much immigrants bring to our country in terms of strengthening our economy and enriching our culture and, you know, and making this country great. And I've encountered more and more people, you know, not just new immigrants, but people who came here, you know, a decade ago, who are beginning to wonder whether this is a safe place, whether this is a place that they feel comfortable, they want to live the rest of their lives. And that bothers me a lot. I mean, I want us to be a welcoming country. And I want us to celebrate our diversity and our immigration heritage. And I don't like when people get scapegoated, especially in a way that I think is so wrong and based on a false narrative.
Okay, I want to ask you real quickly, because my news director, who's a tough guy, Ian Pickens, has demanded that I ask you this question. Have you got a dog in the race in the 2020 Democratic presidential primary or, in fact, election? Is there somebody you want?
I don't. I mean, I want to keep my powder dry. I'm focused on the midterm elections because I think that is the most important thing we can do right now. And there may be somebody who emerges that we haven't even, you know, heard of yet. I mean, or maybe somebody we all know and respect already. But I think at this point, I think we got to keep our eye on the ball. And that is that we need to win these midterm elections. I mean, if we want to really provide a check on Donald Trump, I mean, we're stuck with him, you know, unless he gets impeached, but then we're stuck with Pence, you know, and for another few years here. But if we want to provide a check, we need to win back the Congress. Otherwise, he can continue to try to undo the last 70 years of social progress in this country. And so everything to me needs to be focused on these midterms, and then we'll have plenty of time to figure out who the best candidate is to take on Trump in the 2020 elections.
I got a minute. Are you ruling out Hillary Clinton doing it again?
She said she didn't want to do it again. I mean, you know, and I think, you know, look, I respect and I love Hillary's a dear friend. I love her. She's great, and I think she would have been a great president. But I take her at her word that she doesn't want to do this again. And I think, you know, I don't blame her for not wanting to do it again. I think she got robbed. I mean, she got 3 million more votes than he did, and now we're learning about all this Russian interference. And I'm, you know, horrified that, you know, it may have made a difference in some of these key states where, you know, if three states, if 70,000 votes switched in three states, you know, we'd be having a very different conversation right now.
We sure would.
I'm somebody who gets frustrated when I hear a lot of Hillary bashing, because I got to tell you, I think she would have been a great president for this country.
Always,
but I don't think she's going to run again, and I think we're going to be looking at somebody else.
Always great to talk to Jim McGovern, Massachusetts 2nd District. All of us, thank you, Jim, for showing up and doing this on a regular basis.
Great to be with you.
It means a great deal to us, and we thank you.
Thanks.